Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Mitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich on IMSA Radio.
Let's bring in Shea Adam, my colleague from IMSA Radio and RadioLeMond.com, as the Mazdas are hitting the pit lane. I said untidy yesterday, Shea, and that's led to a few long nights for the teams.
Well, it has, and it's also led to a stern talking to from Randy Buck, the race director, to all the competitors, who reminds them quite generously that they have another race weekend next weekend, and to drive in such a manner to try and remember that. But we will go through the grid for you in just a moment. Before we get to that, we have four drivers who have moved to the back of the pack, two from new engines. That's Celine Rolland and Sam Paley. Connor Zilich and Matthew Dirks are in their backup cars. So we've actually got different looking Mazdas out on the racetrack as well for today's race. And then remember, we had qualifying sessions that didn't go ideally for championship winners of the last 2 years. Michael Carter and Gresham Wagner, they too will be charging from the back of the pack. There is an award for hard charger, so that is something that people are playing for as well. Yesterday, it went the way of Aiden Fasnacht. I don't know who's going to take it today, because we've got a few too many contenders going for that honours, including Aiden once again.
And Aiden will start from the back of the grid. Let's look at the rest of the lineup for the 29 that will be racing. Aiden, who finished on the podium yesterday, will have to do it again because he's at the back after that technical defect was found after qualifying. Connor Zilich is in P28. Celine Rolland in 27. Sam Paley in 26. Yes, big hitters at the back of the field, and they'll have to fight their way through. In 25th position, Matthew Dirks had a damaged car yesterday. Gresham Wagner drove through the field in the number 5. He'll have to do it again from 24th position. Michael Carter in the 08. He's hopefully going to be out there after his engine wars in 23rd. Then James Hayosh in 22nd, Dante Tornello in 21st, Moise Oretzky in 20th, Ethan Taylor in 19th. 18th is Laura Hayes for Thunder Bunny Racing. David Staub in 17th position in the Blue 36. Woody Hyman in the 82 is in 16th. Max Apalski, one of the rookies, in 15th position in the number 2. Jameson Riley in 14th. 13th is Chris Nunes. He can drive forward from there. Tyler Gonzalez is in 12th. And 11th, Alex Batura. Now to the front five rows. Joey Atanasio for Formidable is in 10th. Alongside him, John Jordan for McCombie McAleer in 9th. 8th is Glenn McGee. Anthony McIntosh is in 7th. Jensen Altman, a great starting position for him, and McCombie McAleer Racing in 6th position. 5th is Bryce Cornet, the second best of the rookies. Into the top two rows, Justin Piscadel for McCombie McAleer Racing, the number 89 car, is on the outside of row 2. In the second position is Bruno Caniero, and Aaron Johnson is on pole position.
The eDay Mitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich on IMSA Radio.
Perfect day to go motor racing for the second time of asking. We have almost 30 eDay Mitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup cars sitting on the pit lane. Shea Adam and John Heindorf here in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. We're at Watkins Glen International. The cars will be starting their 2-litre four-cylinder 180 horsepower engines in just a moment's time. Let's remind you, we're in upstate New York. The road racing was what started motorsport around here in the late 40s and early 50s. But road racing in those days was particularly dangerous, and it was thought better to have a permanent circuit. And what a facility was built. It stood the test of time, going downhill into turn one and through the 3.4 mile Grand Prix circuit, as it is here. Up through the climbing S's to the inner loop, or the bus stop as some call it. The outer loop is turn five. Really fast run down to turn six. Through to the toe of the boot. Uphill climbing right-hand turn. Over the brow to turn eight. Another difficult, slightly downhill braking area. And then 9, 10 and 11 to bring you back onto the start-finish line. And it was side-by-side racing all the way through yesterday. Problem for Justin Piscitel. He has not... I don't think that car has started. Let's look back at yesterday. Conor Zilic leading from pole position into turn number one. One, two, three, four wide behind him. But there was a penalty for Sam Paley in the 28. He switched lanes in that blue car from fourth on the left-hand side of the grid. And that was a drive-through for him. And that began a fight back from the back of the field for Sam. Then Celine Roland missed the bus stop chicane with an issue. That brought out a full course yellow. He was fine. The car was straight. And on the restart, an amazing piece of manoeuvring from Bruno Cunhera, who was literally pushed to the lead by Tyler Gonzalez behind him. And both of those guys making up positions. Then it was a nasty moment for Dirks, who spun out in the 76 car and managed to pick up the number 80 as well as he went around. That was the Staab car, of course. Atanasio passing Caniero for the lead and getting P1, and then Gonzalez trying to go for the lead as well. Great racing all the way through, with the front cars changing places more often than I change my training shoes, to be honest. With a couple of mistakes made by leading runners, that opened things right up at the front of the field. And then another spin, this time from the 82 car, brought out another full course yellow. Down into turn eight, the battle for the lead was no less intense. And Aaron Johnson getting involved as well in the number 24, the red, white and blue car, as Tyler Gonzalez went for the lead. That was a decisive move, as behind him later on in the lap, the Hixon Motorsports, Conor Zilic number 72, the pole sitter, hit the wall hard on the exit of the bus stop. That was another full course caution, and the front three then could not change position. Gonzalez taking the checkered flag under yellow flag conditions.
We've got a few cars that are starting from the back of the pack as a result of yesterday's action. Aiden Fasnacht having failed post-qualifying tech once again. Back of the pack, Conor Zilic with a new car. He and Matthew Dirks both with new cars. Celine Roland and Sam Paley, new engines after yesterday's race. Gresser Wagner did not set a time in qualifying. He starts near the back, as does Michael Carter. All of our championship contenders that we're used to seeing, John, are at the back of the pack, except for Jared Thomas, who extended his lead after yesterday's race. He's the first of our drivers in the 2,000 range of points. So congrats to Jared Thomas, but he needs to be smart for today's race. He's driving the number 96. It is Justin Piscitel's car being pushed back to its pit box. Will not see the green flag,
which the rest of the drivers will in just a few moments' time, because they are coming round now. The safety car is in the pit lane, and the green flag is in hand. I look to my left. It's waving now. Now, let's keep an eye. There's already somebody who's changed lanes further back down the field, so that's going to attract the attention of race control again. Now they can fan out after the start-finish line. Johnson down the inside into turn one. That's a cracking run for him, and he gets to hold the lead as they go to the uphill S's for the first time.
Start is already under review, and Jensen Altman crossed the line with nobody beside him. I wonder if maybe he changed columns or if somebody else dropped back further behind.
It was the white and tangerine car way back that I noticed that was out of position.
Yesterday's race winner, Tyler Gonzalez, car number 51.
I think it was even a bit further back than that shade, to be honest. More the plain white car with the tangerine hood. I'll try and pick it out as they come through side by side through the inner loop for the first time. Never an easy thing to do, but these Mazda MX-5 drivers, they like to defy normal racing logic through the outer loop for the first time, and we've got a lead quartet that is pulling away, led by John Somme in that number 24 car. So used to seeing him in the sole red crystal colours. And down at turn 6,
ooh, big
on
crash
on the outside. never want to be on the outside, and that is taking the Global Power Components car out for Anthony McIntosh, one of our rookies. That is such a shame. He was minding his own business. All the incident and action was going on to his left-hand side. He's got the car going again. Good news, we'll stay green.
Good news for him as well, because he's DNF'd every second race of the weekend so far this year. So Anthony McIntosh looking for a finish out of this race. He's got a long road ahead of him now.
Still battling for positions. And it was the 27 car that I saw out of position.
Dante Tornello,
yes. That was the car that was almost on the white line under the starter stand as they came across the line. And Tornello having a cracking battle at the moment with Alex Bachura in the 33. And behind them, there's trouble. There was a little touch there, and around goes the 27. And Tornello then, after that little incident at the start, gets a wee bit of a tap. Leaders down into turn one have broken away for the time being, Shay.
They have, and this is good news for Bruno Carneiro and Aaron Johnson. Bruno is very accustomed to being at the head of the pack, having spent a lot of time there yesterday. Aaron Johnson, first pole position. Great effort for the young man from Louisiana originally.
Waiting to see Anthony McIntosh come into the pit lane. His right front BF Goodrich tyre is rubbing the bodywork after his contact with the wall in that number 69 JTR Motorsports, the Global Power Engineering car. Now, all of a sudden, it's just three cars at the front, because the fourth place machine has dropped back just a little bit.
Bryce Cornier in that number 65 Soul Red Mazda, second in the scholarship award, did come into this series with high hopes, and we had high hopes for him. We still do. But let's see if he can catch back up to this leading trio. Jared Thomas, the third of the three cars, sitting pretty for points on the day.
Now let's have a look again. There is Tornello going out
Correct.
Of line. So that's a slam dunk. There's also a change of position there, I'm pretty certain, in row three. Or was that just the fact that the sixth place car wasn't there?
Yes, it would have been, because Justin Piscitel pulling out of line in the pits, you're correct, and they did leave space for him.
That's exactly right. So that is why that was the case. So that isn't going to be the issue.
Who gave Dante a little push? Was it Gresham Wagner? He and Alex Bachura actually got in side by side, did Tornello and Bachura, and both cars able to continue.
Yeah, Bachura was, well, actually, I think Alex was getting a push from Dante was getting a push from behind as well. So penalty, false start, lining up on the wrong side for two cars, Shay.
Oh, sorry that I called it, but Jensen Altman, it was one of them, and the other one was one that you called John Dante Tornello, so one each.
Jensen, I can forgive, because he had nobody with him.
Yep.
So there was the gap there. Which side am I supposed to be on? But Tornello, he actually, if you watch, there should be a gap, and there is a gap, and the grey car with the red stripe goes into it from the third row. Further back, the white car with orange is yep. already broken through. In fairness, he got a better start, and he didn't know whether to brake or keep going. Well, he should have braked,
yes.
is the answer to that. He's in the pits.
That's Altman.
Oh, that's Altman in the pits with damage to the left front.
Yeah, with his bumper push slightly askew. Maybe he was trying to bump draft with somebody this early on. He had been running in the top five. This is terrible for Jensen Altman.
Really good qualifying for him for this second race up in the top six. And making a small error at the start, he'll have to go through the pit lane regardless of what that damage is. At the front, Aaron Johnson, Bruno Carneiro, and Jared Thomas.
And Bryce Cornet is still there. He's not catching up to the leading trio, but he's not dropping back off them either.
Jared Thomas still confusing me, not having the silver car.
Yes.
Still getting used to that sort of flat red on the number 96 car, but still...
Metallic titanium. Dave Thomas was very clear in the colour. Still with the yellow roll bar.
Thank you for that, guys.
Yep. Much appreciated.
Looks like Cornet's not making any ground on those leading three. Whilst they're not fighting, he won't, but now Carneiro pulls out a line down towards turn eight, and maybe that will just start to slow this leading three up. And as soon as they fight, you'll see that number 65 car in fourth position as they come to turn nine. Now that's the red with the white stripes over the fenders. That car will close in, then it's another group And that's led by McGee with Atanasio right in there. Chris Noons fighting his way back through as well. Jameson Riley there. And how's Fasnacht? Up to ninth already. Fasnacht up to ninth after three laps from the back of the grid.
20 cars in three laps. That's impressive. We do have a significant penalty that's just dropped in as well. Tyler Gonzalez, car number 51. Incident responsibility with the 69. That was Anthony McIntosh. Drive-through penalty. So that's yesterday's race winner who jumped himself up to ninth in points after the great performance. Drive-through penalty. That's hard to come back from.
At the front of the field then, Aaron Johnson is leading the pack. Connor just in a little bit of no man's land at the moment, sitting in behind the lead cars. Then it's Joey Atanasio, Chris Noons, Riley, Jameson Riley in Fasnacht, now up into eighth position, is into the pit lane for the penalty. That was the lining up on the wrong side.
And Tyler Gonzalez, both of them have come into the pits now. So everybody who's been called for a penalty has served their drive through.
Okay. Tick them off the list. Oh, and a bit of a break at the front all of a sudden. Johnson gets away by only a couple of three cars' lengths, but that's significant here.
And it's going to allow Bryce Cornier to catch back up to the Hixon Motorsport car. And oh, Tyler Gonzalez out of his car. He's parked it. Yesterday's race winner, DNF.
Well, little bit of commiserations from the team there. Copeland Motorsport. So the man from St. Cloud, Florida, will take no further part. So was there damage as well? Or does he just figure that after that incident responsibility, he's got no chance of fighting his way through? Still got 37 minutes through. I can't believe he's thrown in the towel because of that. There must be a problem with the car. Fastest lap of the race, Connor Zilic and also Celine Roland there. I saw in the sort of creme anglaise car with the mint and tangerine hood.
Confirmation from race control, by the way, it's not throwing in the towel. It was a mechanical issue for Tyler Gonzalez.
Yeah, thought so. Too much time left and too much to happen here. One appearance by the safety car and you're back in it here. We've seen Aidan Fasnacht being able to make up positions, and he goes across the line this time in fifth position. That's another three places made up since the last time I mentioned it. So the McCombie McAleer racing driver now at the head of the second major group. He's got to try and bridge the gap to Bryce Cornier and from there to the lead three. But it's been a fabulous drive. My question is, how much has he taken out of the BF Goodrich tyres?
My question is, how much is he going to work with the people around him, like Atanasio?
Battle for the lead. And Johnson's got the inside line in the white, red and blue car. And he'll be able to hold on. Bruno Caniero for Hixon Motorsport in the grey, blue and tangerine car in second. Then the metallic titanium. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Car in third position. And Cornier is beginning to get back on terms. As we mentioned, as soon as the battle starts, they start to slow each other up. And Cornier in clear air is back with them. And I tell you what, Fasnacht's got a really quick car share. He's already pulling away from that group that he's fought his way through to the front of. Remember, started dead last, 29th position, in fifth position already. Extraordinary.
Ooh, Bryce Cornier has a warning for track limits at turn one, so he's pushing hard as here we go. Carniero looks for the lead on the inside of Johnson going through eight. They're still side by side at the exit. That is going to be advantage to the 21 machine.
Down the inside, did think that Johnson might have been able to do the cutback, but couldn't quite make it. Cornier is right back with them now, so it's Spark Performance and Hixon Motorsport battling for the lead, and Hixon in the shape of Bruno Caniero has got to the lead ahead of Spark Performance and Aaron Johnson, then JTR and Jared Thomas, then Hixon Motorsport second car, and the second rookie in that top four, Bryce Cornier, the best rookie, is leading the race. Cross the line, a bit of bump drafting there. And look at Fasnacht. He's broken away by 5, 6, 10 cars length. And he's half the distance to the leading quartet. Extraordinary run from Fasnacht. He can't win He can't win the Fast Charger Award.
Nope, he can. They've changed the rules from last year, as we learned this morning. He won it yesterday, and he looks like he's going to be claiming it again today.
Ah, it used to be if you had a penalty, you couldn't win it. Right,
correct.
Okay. Well, it was an incorrect oil filter that caught the attention of the scrutineers post-qualifying. And that has been addressed by McCombie McAleer Racing.
Aiden Fosnock, though, a Spec Miata MX-5 Challenge guy. He started racing at the age of 15, which was not that many years ago, as he is now a Boston College student, and he's schooling everybody else on track about how to drive these cars.
Gresham Wagner in a battle. That's the orange hood with the green piping and the black carts, number five, going down through turn six. Somebody's bumper's trailing as well in that group of cars. Wagner in that battle for 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th on down. And he's got sitting in behind him the white car, the number 76 of Matthew Dirks. Oh, that's a completely new car then from yesterday. Because
yep.
That's not his usual livery. That he normally has the USAF livery on that car.
Back to the lead for Aaron Johnson, but this time he brings with him Jared Thomas up into second place. So we now have Spark Performance ahead of JTR Engineering, ahead of two Hixon Motorsport cars, because Bryce Cornet is right there with Bruno Carneiro.
And that's the two rookies now in third and fourth. They were first and fourth at the start of this lap. It could change again. And Fasnacht, he's just coming like the Cannonball Express at the moment. He is on full steam ahead. Quite extraordinary run for Fasnacht in that number 15, the Sword-sponsored machine for McCombie McAleer Racing. Both McCombie and McAleer are here, of course, this weekend.
Both racing later on today. But keep in mind, John, that the only guy in that top five, we'll say, that knows how to win is Jared Thomas. The other ones have never done it before in this series.
Wow, okay. Coming down to the last 30 minutes in about 90 seconds' time. Lead four on the uphill S's. Locked together as one. 16 wheels of Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 action for the lead. And there's a little bit of bump drafting again. Fasnacht trying to make it 20 wheels. This is an extraordinary concentration for those particularly in the middle of that train. You've got to make sure that you hit your braking mark perfectly. Otherwise, you're going to tip out the person in front of you. More track limits warnings being shown. Jensen Altman, it's not been his race today. He's trying to make up time at the back of the field.
For turn 10, though, that's a place where when you run off the track, you don't really gain an advantage. Sure, you're carrying more momentum, but you're going further.
Yeah, and you're on the wrong side for turn 11. The lead four, almost the lead five. Then a little gap back to Céline Roland's group, let's call it that if we're in cycling terms, with Jameson Riley, Team USA scholarship, one of Jeremy's spots from a couple of 3 years ago.
We've got Gresham Wagner leading Céline Roland, and then Jameson Riley, and then Matthew Dirks, and then Connor Zilich in another white car.
Yeah, Gresham made up a couple of places on this lap to lead that group. And I'm going to say now that Fasnacht's onto that group, because he is. There's barely two cars between the top four and the fifth place car, which has come from 29th position. And we've still got half an hour of this race, 30 minutes to go.
15 minutes to be at the lead.
Amazing run.
My goodness. Aaron Johnson leading the way once again, another lap. It has been him who has been at the head of the field for almost every lap count. That would be 10 bonus points to go with the 10 bonus points that he got from the pole position.
Fasnacht, fastest lap last time around. Not a surprise to me. Now, you might think that Aiden Fasnacht would take a little bit of a breather now that he's got across, but this isn't the Tour de France. He's going to attack as soon as he can. He's going to use the momentum that he's got. He's already right under the back valance of Bryce Cornet ahead of him. Which way is he going to go? He's got the inside run into the bus stop. He might get a couple here if he's late on the brakes. And he is late on the brakes. And he goes through to fourth position. Super move. Super decisive. Clean as you like. And Fasnacht from 29th to 4th in 16 minutes.
Aiden Fasnacht is a great white shark. He is just picking off minnows at his will. Well, now he's gotten to some bigger fish, some orcas. Let's see what he can do with them.
It was an early move to his right, using the draft, using the momentum, but he braked much later. You saw the front of the red car go down, Bryce Cornish's car go down, and even at full speed, there was a significant difference to when the darker coloured car, Fasnacht's car, started to brake. And from the tails away view, you saw the difference in the brake lights as well. And that's when I knew he was going to make that. Marvellous.
For all the pedants out there, I know that orcas are not fish.
They are indeed a mammal.
They are mammals.
Top four now, with Cornet having dropped back just a little bit. And here's Fasnacht again.
Whoa.
This time at nine. Is there anywhere that he can't pass? Well, at the moment, the answer would be no. Now third position. And what's just happened? Bruno Caniero must think, hang on, wasn't he right at the back of the grid? I saw his name at the bottom of the grid sheet.
This is an interesting situation because Jared Thomas has a very comfortable points lead. He doesn't need to let Fasnacht through, but he's also won a race every weekend of the series thus far. As Michael Carter is off in the gravel, that's the exit of turn nine. Might even be 10 further around, but he's still got the wheels spinning. Keep it going, Michael. Get it back on the track. Oh, well done, young man.
That was the 0-8. There was another car involved there as they came side by side.
Ooh, that was heavy contact.
Oh, yes, it was. It was
Chris
the
32. Noons.
Chris Noons, yeah.
Ooh, not a good coming together between those two drivers. Both proven race winners in this series. And Carter comes straight in.
It's not been his season this year.
No.
Champion from a couple of seasons ago.
Second last year as well. There is bodywork out around the circuit. It is well off the racing line coming through into turn 10.
From that contact, I would think. Well, Aiden Fasnacht has disappointed me because we've been away from the lead battle for at least 90 seconds and he's not overtaken anyone.
Yeah, clearly he's lost his way.
Yes, lost it completely. Been a stunning drive coming now again down to turn 6. And Fasnacht, clearly stung by what I've just said, immediately looks to make another overtake. He's in third at the moment. Jared Thomas in the titanium metallic car.
Dave smiles every time you say that.
I'm sure he does. Top four are back together again. We've almost got five because coming in there is Bryce Cornet, who was dropped in the 65 a little while ago. No opportunity here for Fasnacht as they come down to 8.
It's also worth noting that three of the four who started at the back of the pack are now up within the top 10. So Fasnacht has been getting all of our praise, but Gresham Wagner, Matthew Dirk, Celine Roland, they've been doing a great job too.
Yeah, Roland is in 7th position and led that secondary group across the line. Matthew Dirks, couple of places back in 9th.
Yeah.
And here is that group led by Celine Roland.
Connor
and in fact,
Zilich.
Dirks is now right behind him in the white car. Remember, he's changed liveries because he's changed car. Connor Zilich, rather, has changed liveries because he changed cars. So, and then it's Gresham Wagner behind them.
Celine, Connor, and Gresham all working together to move up through the pack. This has been a great display of driving for guys who struggled in yesterday's race.
Behind them, more action with John Jourdain right in the mix there in the bright blue car. Also the 31 in there is Jameson Riley. That's the yellow car with the black hood. He's going to get hung out to dry going up through the S's. He sticks his nose in there, but he's not going to be allowed in. There's elements of stock car racing here, isn't there? And what a great place to have that. Because if you get out of line and you don't have the momentum, no one's going to let you back into line, Shane. You could lose 3, 4, 5 positions.
Yeah, and speaking of stock cars, there are tempers of flaring down in the pit lane. Michael Carter is out of the 0-8 machine. He is very displeased about the contact with Chris Noons in the 32. The incident is under review. Race control is checking that out. And yesterday, Chris Noons actually got to meet his racing hero, Jimmy Johnson.
Battle for second position, and for a moment it looked like Jared Thomas may have lost a bit of momentum on the exit of 6. He ran on the dirt. Can that be the opportunity for Fasnacht? They're side by side going over the brow of the hill before turn 8, the heel of the boot. Fasnacht to the inside. late on the brakes. Oh, super late on the brakes by Thomas, though. They're going to try and tough this out, and sitting in behind him is Bruno Caniero trying to... He's on the flasher. Caniero's on the flasher, clearly giving him 150 more horsepower. He'll be able to blast past him. No, of course, that doesn't happen. Still side by side. And the 96 mirror now folded in on the left-hand side.
And Jared, it was Aiden Fosnacht's mirror was tucked in on his side. He reached through the window and just popped it back out to be able to see out his left-hand side.
Smart
boy. This is mega.
Smart boy. Well, that was four corners at least that they went through side by side at the end of it. All that's happened is that Aaron Johnson for Spark Performance has pulled out all of a three-quarter of a second lead as they went across the line. It's not even that now as the draft plays its part down through turn one. Very sideways moment for Fastnacht, who got a little touch from Caniero. Caniero, in the meanwhile, had contact, I think, from Bryce Cornet as they were rubbing down into the braking area of turn one.
We are now beyond the halfway mark of this race, which means that Aaron Johnson has secured the 10 bonus points for leading the most laps of this one, which will go with his 10 bonus points from pole position as well. I feel bad for Jared Thomas because his right side mirror will not be set back to where it should be. Aiden Fosnacht did a great job to keep it side by side, but did exceed track limits on the exit. I think he would argue he was pushed there.
Touch from Caniero on the number 15 of Fastnacht, and then live by the little bump draft, die by the little bump draft, because he got the touch as well from Bryce Cornet sitting in behind. 87 is Céline Rolland leading another group of cars ahead of them. Oh, now that's been a bit of a change around as well, because Wagner's now got to the front of that group. Gresham Wagner, but at the front of the field. We can't take our eyes off the front of the field. So much going on. This is typical of Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 racing. So that's Wagner now at the head of the leading group, ahead of the number 72 of Connor Zilic in the all-white car.
Wagner, Zilic, very little bit of a break. Céline Rolland, Matthew Dirks in the other all-white car. That's McCombie McAleer with their backup car. And then a tiny little bit of a break before we get Joey Atanasio, Glenn McGee, Jameson Riley, Sam Paley, and Max Opalski. And that's half the field for you.
Yeah, and they're all battling for positions with... we may have to calm down a little bit here, Shea, because there's still 21 and a half minutes to go, and we've had more racing action than in a full season of some series. This is absolutely typical of Idemitsu Mazda MX-5. Non-stop. That's why all of the teams are on the pit wall or watching this in their haulers at the moment. Really well supported here at the track, and we know from far and wide as well, wherever and however you're watching and listening, thank you for being with us. More bump drafting down the front straight. The gap has gone out to round about 6 seconds between the first group and the second. There goes Matthew Dirks down the inside on Céline Rolland. Yes, it was Matthew Dirks in the 76. The two white cars are confusing me massively, not having their usual liveries on them. And now the line astern. The 72 is Connor Zilic. Paul Sitter from yesterday's race at the front of the field again. They're spreading out, but it's still Jean Somme from the JTR racing car. Then that black number 15. Then Caniero in the grey, metallic grey car with the bright blue and orange. Just behind that, Bryce Cornet can't quite get it done, but Fastnacht can. Down into six. Well, he's been looking at the back of Jared Thomas's car for far too long. He knows all of the stickers off by heart, and he's decided now that he needs to learn something else. And so he's right behind Aaron Johnson. Johnson then in the lead, but for how much longer? We know that that number 15 car and Aiden Fastnacht is very good on the brakes on the downhill. Let's see if he can do it into eight. He's right there. Doesn't make the move here. Doesn't pull out of line.
Look at how cool and calm and collected Aaron Johnson was, though, with the pressure.
How is he doing that with what's going on behind him?
There was no flick of the helmet to even acknowledge a glance in the mirror to give any sign of weakness, as Fagnas is all over Johnson.
Not into 10, surely, down the inside. Thinks about it. Pulls back into line. I think he probably felt the presence of Fastnacht, and not in the Darth Vader way, although the car's the right colour. There was a little bit of a love tap on the back. Oh, two very different lines onto the front straight from the leading pair. Now they're get back line astern, and an early move to driver's right. There's half a car's overlap. There's almost a full car's overlap, and brilliant driving as well by Jared Thomas, who tries to slipstream his way to second position, but to the lead with 18 and a half minutes to go from the dead last spot, 29th on the grid. Aiden Fastnacht has done it again. That bit of battling has brought Bryce Cornet back into it in the number 65 car, and now, having battled to the front, it's a different mindset for Aiden Fastnacht. Now he has to work out how to steer there, Shea, and these cars make a big hole in the air down the inside for Johnson. Early opportunity to get that lead back, but he is repelled super late on the brakes. All the braking areas, Fastnacht is absolutely brilliant. The bad news for his competitors is he's pretty good out of the corners as well.
Yeah, he's got a very comfortable car beneath him. Aiden Fastnacht, who had never made a trip to the podium before yesterday, loves Watkins Glen.
Clearly.
You can tell he's comfortable around this circuit, whereas others perhaps falter. Look at Jared Thomas right now, sitting in the fourth position. This is where danger zone starts to set in. And can we get more cars in this series, please, just so Aiden Fastnacht can pass more people?
Yeah, well, exactly.
There's still 18 minutes left when he got to the lead.
Yeah, what's he going to do now?
Exactly.
He has actually already made a slight gap between himself and the four cars behind him. That'll close up once they stop fighting each other. And indeed, as I say that, Johnson is almost there, but not quite. Caniero, let's not forget as well, Caniero and Bryce Cornet in this leading quintet as it is now, both rookie drivers here and driving like real veterans. Now they have got experience, of course. They've not just walked in off the street.
No, and for Carniero, every race weekend is a gift, getting to come and do these races. He's earned his way to racing by selling gift cards, in effect, to Rodizio Grill. He goes door-to-door and asks people if they would like to help sponsor his race team. That's true effort. Bryce Cornet, he was second in line for the scholarship last year. That went the way of Connor Zilich, but he still got some help to be in this series. He has been learning so much each weekend, racing with Hickson Motorsports, a big group of cars, but both of them trailing Joey Attanasio in the rookie championship. This is a mega points day if they stay where they are.
Yeah, I wonder what their teams will be telling them on the Pits to Car radio. There has to be a time in the next maybe 10 or 12 minutes where they say, right guys, take what you can get, but do not end up in the barriers. This is a big point scoring day for both of those rookies. Down to the inner loop again. Little dab on the brakes, just a check dab there from the leader. Basically what he's doing there, he's not trying to psych out the guys behind. You hit the curbs very hard here and that can rattle the brake pads away from the discs, away from the rotors. And then when you need the brakes, you go to it, there's a little bit more of a gap there and you don't get the bite you were expecting. So that's why you get a little bit of a run on the on those brake pedals beforehand.
Aiden Fastnacht has been making passes everywhere and with ease. This track is almost a bit of a playground for him. Whereas corners might intimidate other drivers, he just sort of laughs. Pass somebody into the heel of the boot? Sure, okay. Pass someone into the bus stop? Ooh, haven't tried that yet. Let me have a go.
And then took the lead with a great exit from turn at number 11, the final corner, and was alongside pretty much before we even got to the start-finish line. And he holds on to that lead at the moment, but a little bit wide there from a number of runners, including Caniero, and he's already had a warning.
And that will have the view of race control watching track limits being exceeded, particularly through that part of the track.
So Fastnacht then, passing for fun, now has to defend from the front. Top five cars. Oh, really good run on the start, finish straight by Caniero. He saw what happened to Johnson for the lead a couple of three laps ago. And here comes Jared Thomas, and Bryce Cornet might be able to push him through, has pushed him through. Caniero goes back into second place. And off the circuit for Johnson. He may lose third as well. He will. Thomas goes back through again.
John Chaudwain with the fastest lap the last time around. And we have a track limits warning for Justin Piscitel, who did make it out of the race late on parade. But he just exceeded the limits at turn 8. John Chaudwain, though, fastest lap. That is very impressive for the driver of the number 39.
Keep an eye on that number 15. He's been dabbing the brakes a lot. He's used up a lot of his resources and performance potential in that car. Also seems to be working a bit harder than some of his competitors on the steering wheel. Has he overheated the tyres in this charge to the front? He'll be wanting to slow the pace down and be as smooth as possible. Yeah, back end just sliding away there in turn six. He'll be wanting to slow this pace down as much as he can to try and get the tyres back underneath him. He has been doing it in the last few laps, running a good second and a half slower than we know they can do. And what's that doing? Well, I'll tell you, the second group are looming in on the horizon. That probably can't come quick enough for the leader, Aidan Fastnacht, because if that group behind, which is led by Gresham Wagner, can bridge the gap, then that gives everybody else something to talk about. Remember, that gap not so long ago was 6 seconds, and now it's well under three.
And do not invite Gresham Wagner, Matthew Dirks, Jonjo Duain, Connor Zilich into play without thinking that they are going to have a run at this win.
Wagner then, who is dragging the number 76, Matthew Dirks. Matthew not happy at all about what happened yesterday. Bad damage to the rear of his car. The guys tried to clean it up and indeed did get him back out, but really there was only about 7/8 of a Mazda MX-5 race car left of that.
And so they decided very early on that they were not going to make it a night well into the morning. Smart. They were just going to go straight to the backup car for Matthew.
They are catching. They are undoubtedly catching. Now that was another 10.5, so round about 3 or 4 tenths quicker. So are those tyres coming back for the leader? Big push from Caniero on the leader. And here comes Jared Thomas. It's a 3 and a 2 now from the top five.
Gap closed a second and a half, though, for Gresham Wagner on that last lap. And he is now only a second and a half behind Bryce Cornet.
Coming down under the last dozen minutes. In a loop, top three. Oh, it's beginning to be a struggle for Fastnacht. The car doesn't want to go to the apex, to the middle of the corner. He's adjusting his driving, though, very well indeed, because what he's doing is he's standing people up in the middle of the corners and making sure he's getting a good exit. So from the centre off, his car is pretty good. Getting in there and get it turned and stop, that's where he's struggling. He's got to just cover the inside line to make sure nobody can get underneath him. Meantime, the Bryce Cornet and Aaron Johnson battle has gone the way of Cornet. He's up into fourth position, and here comes Wagner. Wagner with Matthew Dirks behind him.
Eight cars within one camera shot now, John. This is on. Aidan Fastnacht got to the lead, but he might have gotten there a bit too soon.
Top 10 are still in this. I'm going to say all the way back to Glenn McGee, who's in the light blue car. In fact, actually, Celine Roland is not far out of this in the Hixon car, further back.
Yeah, but is Jared Thomas going to keep his streak alive of winning at every track we've been to this year? He's got to do it now.
John Jordan in the light blue car, excuse me. It's the car I was looking at, trying to look at about six things at once here. Timing screens, three different battles. That, I'm afraid, is the way of things here in the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Championship. Great to have them back with IMSA. Brilliant return year last year. And remarkably, it has been taken up a notch or two this year. So much talent in this field. No longer a step-through series. This is a destination. There's money up for grabs here and substantial amounts of money. If you consider the top-winning team at Le Mans wins about, I think it's still under €30,000. And the winner here for the championship season takes home
$250,000 cold hard cash.
Cold. You do like that cold hard cash line, don't you?
Real cash money.
Folding
bills.
Yeah, absolutely,
yes.
Right.
The suitcase with the sunglasses.
Yes, absolutely. Fastnacht looked like he's got a little more control now over his Macombi McAleer Racing Mazda MX-5. He was much tidier through the inner loop, the bus stop, last time around. And nobody trying to make any moves on him at the moment. He is super good on the brakes, in fairness. Little gap back to now Gresham Wagner, who's in fourth position. So he's saved some performance We were talking about this earlier on, Shea, with the temperatures as they are, just under 100 Fahrenheit on the track, or 34 Celsius for our international viewers.
I believe it.
And it's getting warmer all the time. Under 9 minutes to go.
Where's Sean Som? He's dropped back behind Bryce Cornet.
Correct.
And yes, I see what you mean now.
Cornet and Sean Som were having their battle for fourth. They've now both been passed by Wagner and
Dirks.
Matthew Dirks. Yeah.
Wagner setting the overall fastest sector two that we've seen thus far in the race.
They're coming.
He's charging.
That orange hood with the green flashes and the plain white car, they are going to be a factor. They are looking for a step on the podium. What step will it be? It looks like Cornet has got another lease of life as well as they come through. He might be able to just latch onto the back. These open top cars with the FIA approved roll cage do make a big hole in the air. The draft is strong with these.
And proven that in proof, it is Matthew Dirks fastest lap as he was following Gresham Wagner, who we know was charging hard on that one.
Looking to see further back from the leaders. John Jodoin in 8th position from McCombie McAleer Racing. Connor Zilic in the all-white number 72 in 9th. Celine Roland in that sort of very light yellow with the coloured hood on that car. He rounds up the top 10 from Glenn McGee in 11th. Joey Atanasio in the black with green stripes on his formidable racing car. Jameson Riley's dropped back to 13th for Copeland Motorsport. Sam Paley in the 28 is in 14th. 15th, Alex Pachura for Spark Performance after that little side-by-side nudge earlier on. That's your top 15.
And a few positions further back, Laura Hayes running around for Thunder Bunny Racing. She's going to be joined the next race out by Parker Kligerman, who's going to be driving the celebrity car. Aaron Johnson has stopped on track.
Now, that is, I think, the exit of turn 5 at the far side of the circuit. There's a lot of runoff there. So the stats on Fastnacht: 12th at the end of lap 1, 9th at lap 2, 5th at lap 4, 3rd at lap 8, 2nd at lap 12, and 1st by lap 13. So
not
the opening lap was an absolute corker for him.
Not too shabby. I think he could do better. Let's throw some more cars at him. Can we start from the back at every race, please? Just for entertainment purposes. It is now a 5-car battle for the lead.
As
Wagner
predicted,
and Dirks are there.
Just when you think it's only 3 of you battling for the podium, it all changes. And these guys now at the front have been battling for more than half the race. In Fastnacht, the leader, the number 15 car's case, it's for all of the race. What have they got left in themselves, in their BF Goodrich tyres, in their brakes?
Answer from Jared Thomas: I've got more. Personal best sector 3 that last time around, so Jared is looking to turn up the wick. He sees last year's champion Gresham Wagner in his rearview mirrors and goes, okay, let's work together and move forward. We know how to do this.
All five pretty much together now. Wagner with Matthew Dirks in the all-white number 76. Right, there we are. 5 fours are 20, aren't they? And that's how many BF Goodrich tyres are all within a very tight margin. And Gresham Wagner almost gets it very wrong indeed. He'll have to give that place back. He was off the track. A huge sideways slide as he was going for third position on Jared Thomas. And that might allow Matthew Dirks an opportunity. The leading pair have got to wait side by side between Dirks and Jared Thomas. Huge slide.
What a save.
Man, we saw yesterday, didn't we, someone with a rear puncture holding on to a Tokyo Drift style. But that was just commitment from the number 5 of Gresham Wagner. And somehow, has he got the drift, the drift steering rack with the longer arms on? Because he had an awful lot of steering lock on there as he was coming through what is a very fast part of the middle of the inner loop. But it has allowed the leading pair just to get away. Looks to me as though Jared Thomas is now struggling for a little bit of rear end grip on his titanium metallic number 96 with the yellow mirrors. Right-hand door mirrors was folded in earlier on in side-by-side contact.
Courtesy of Aiden Fastnacht, who unfolded his own mirror.
Coming through.
Hello, excuse me. Can we do a health and safety check on Chad McCombie and Stephen McAleer if the white car of Matthew Dierks does manage to get up to the back of the black car of Aiden Fastnacht? Both of those drivers driving for McCombie-McAleer Racing, both of those drivers looking for their first ever race win.
3.5 minutes to go. That is going to be this lap and two more, I reckon, at the pace that they're going. No, check that. It'll be this lap and one more.
2:10 flat, yeah, for the leader the last time around. The fastest lap of that group, Connor Zilic, actually, with 2:09.7, so managed to catching up a little bit.
Battle for the lead, and here is the chance for the rookie Bruno Caniero. Hixon Motorsport, he's got the right-hand side of the track, which is the right side of the track for getting into the inner loop, and takes the lead. Jared Thomas right in behind them, and Caniero slides sideways, and also Fastnacht is off the track, and all of a sudden the man who fought from 29th to 1st is back down to 4th position, and we've got one more lap after this. Don't write your stories yet in the press room. Fastnacht immediately on the aggressive attack down the inside, wow, at turn number 6 and goes back to 3rd. He knows that time is running out. He knows that grip is running out. Caniero leads from his teammate in 2nd place straight down the inside. Fastnacht will not be denied. And Matthew Dierks, great awareness not to turn in at the toe of the boot at turn 7 there. But this is allowing Caniero to break away. There'll only be one lap after this one. White flag is being readied on the start-finish line. This is extraordinary stuff as Fastnacht comes together with his teammate, and Matthew Dierks is off the track. Also got picked up, I think, by Jared Thomas, and that's wiped the rear bumper
off
the number 76. We've seen an awful lot of the rear undercarriage. It was Gresham Wagner that picked him off. Yeah.
Yep, and Gresham has an issue on the front right. He's going to have to pit. This is a massive point swing.
Stay out. He's going to stay out, surely.
No.
Oh, he can't get the car turned. There's damage. I thought it was just rubbing bodywork on the BF Goodrich tyre. One more lap to go. The white flag waves 3.4 miles.
He stayed out. Gresham Wagner stayed out. He wants the checkered flag on the racetrack.
Wow.
So we've got Hixon Motorsport leading from MMR, from Jared Thomas Racing, JTR, from Hixon. And then back in fifth is another MMR car. And then Connor Zilic in another Hixon. So it's turned out to be a good race for Hixon Motorsports.
Absolutely. A little bit of contact coming over the top of the brow. You can't surely bet against Fastnacht here, particularly as we know how good he is. Caniero covers the inside, the right-hand side of the track. It's going to have to be round the outside, Buffalo Gal style, if Fastnacht's going to do it in the inner loop. He's trying. They're side-by-side into the middle of it, and somehow they're both sliding, but they've both got through, and Fastnacht has gone through. Fastnacht has gone through to the lead.
And Cornier followed through for a podium position on Jared Thomas, sliding through at the exit of the bus stop. Great move.
Huge sideways movement on the exit of turn 5 for our leader, Aiden Fastnacht. Defends into turn 6. Once again, I think he's overheated his tyres. He's overheated his team managers and owners as well. McCombie and McAleer will be chewing their fingernails at the moment. Defensive run into turn 7. There's still half the lap to go here. Any one of these four could win it. Who's in fifth position at the moment? That's Jean Jardouin, who's up into fourth position.
Carnero's on the grass.
Trying the pass on the grass into turn 6. Watch the outside move from the fourth place car. They had a great run. That's Jared Thomas. He might be able to make up some ground here into turn 8. Side by side, two pairs of two. This is not coming to the green flag. This is coming to the checker. Still Fastnacht from 29th on the grid. Surely he can turn this into a victory. What a run it would be from back to front.
Wow.
After the technical infraction in qualifying. Two corners to go. Got to hold it together now. Caniero is the best of the rookies in second. Then Jared Thomas back up to third. They're all off the track here. Slightly defensive in the final corner. Can Caniero get a run on the leader? It's going to be a run to the line. But Aiden Fastnacht for McCombie, McAleer Racing from 29th to the lead. Takes it by 3/4 of a Mazda MX-5's length. The second race of the weekend goes to the number 15 McCombie McAleer Racing driver Aiden Fastnacht, who has overcome a technical infringement and being put to the back of the grid. That is one of the drives of all time in a series that is packed full of brilliant driving. Fasnacht from back to front to fourth to first again. Extraordinary. Took him 13 laps to get to the front. It looked like he was going to lose it at roundabout lap 20, but he's got it back again.
The 19-year-old young man from New Jersey will be smiling.
19 years old, 19. And he's got the racecraft and the head on his shoulders to drive like that. What a star of the future. Bruno Caniero gets great points for the rookie championship. Jared Thomas picks up third position.
It was actually the blink of an eye between the top two at 0.07 seconds.
Just extraordinary stuff from Fasnacht. And what a last few laps. On the grass from Caniero. At various parts of the last lap, it looked like Caniero had got it won into the bus stop. Big slide from him. And then a swerve from Aidan Fasnacht put him all four BF Goodriches. In fact, he dropped a fifth position there behind Jared Thomas. Then the side-by-side action coming into turn eight. And it looked like Caniero was right there. 76 at that point. Matthew Dirks was right in and got some side-by-side contact from his McCombie McAlee Racing teammate. And then it was Gresham Wagner that was caught up in the action as well. One lap to go. And Caniero was leading it. Jared Thomas trying to make it three, but into the bus stop too wide on the final tour. It can be done. And even with worn BF Goodriches, they still had the performance to give Aidan Fasnacht the lead. But it wasn't over at that point. Coming out to turn seven, an attempted pass on the grass by Caniero was just denied. And Fasnacht makes it the victory. From 29th to 1st, brilliant stuff from the McCombie McAlea Racing driver. Well, let's get our breaths back here in the Global Broadcast Centre. Shea Adam. That's interesting for the championship as well, because after all of that work, Gresham Wagner finished down in 13th position, and quite a lot of the leading runners didn't get the points they were expecting.
Jared Thomas did still make it on the podium, so he will extend his points lead even further. Not a great day for Celine Roland coming home in the 11th position. Gresham Wagner in P13. So it will tighten between those two drivers for second in the championship, but it's still Thomas with the clear lead.
From back to front for Aidan Fasnacht in race two. It's been a brilliant weekend here at Watkins Glen International. Absolutely indicative of what we're used to seeing. An untidy first race yesterday led to some strange liveries and some backup cars being used. But race two today paid off in spades. And we'll have the whole of the rest of the season for you, all live, all free, in the US and around the world for the 2022 Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 series.
This program is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.